the authority and the leader of this meeting. I fully submit myself, commit myself to you. I ask that you would think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. Father, I thank you that as a corporate body that we come together and move in the flow of the Spirit of the living God. That, Father, as the river runs, that we would come into your current. We would come into your place. We would come in to the place that you have for this night. Father, I pray over the hearts of your people. Father, I thank you that they are ready ground. They are ready to receive your word. That their hearts are open to receive the ministering of your Spirit tonight. Father, I thank you that any type of hindrance that would try to come, any demonic hindrance, in the name of Jesus, I call you bound and cast out of this place in Jesus' name. You have no right and no place to operate in this meeting. And Father, I thank you for the ministering spirits that you send forth to do the work of the word, to meet the faith and the words and the declarations of your people. I thank you that you are always for us. You're always for us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for the service tonight. I thank you for the power of your presence tonight. Father, I thank you for the anointing in this house. Father, I thank you for each one who showed up with their supply. They've shown up to join in to what you have for this service tonight. Father, I thank you for a spirit of unity in this place. Father, I thank you for your goodness going forth in this place. Father, I thank you that your blessing is working for each one of those that you have called to this service, who are listening now or who listen in the future. The blessing is working for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. He is good all the time. And not in a cliche way, not just in a because everybody says it kind of way. No, he's good all the time. He's always looking for a way to bless you. He's always looking for a way to reach out to you. He's always looking for an opportunity to speak to you. Amen. Pastor and Miss Deb are, I believe they're sleeping right now. But I actually downloaded the clock she told you all about so I could be sure of time because I was texting this afternoon. I thought, ooh, we're getting pretty close, but they went to Florence, and they went on a tour in Florence, and they were super excited. They saw the Leaning Tower, and she said it is indeed leaning. They saw the statue of David, and they saw many other things. They've been to the Colosseum. They've been to the Mamertine Prison, and this is just the start of it. There's still plenty more to come, so it looks absolutely wonderful, and they are really enjoying their time there, and so I am so excited for them. It sounds like they're really getting some refreshing and some rest, and of course to walk in those streets, to see those things, to be in those places. How awesome. So, Father, we thank you for our pastors. We call them blessed, protected. And, Father, we thank you that they find supernatural favor everywhere they go. Amen? So, I kind of want to, I'm going to have this kind of like a part B, even though it's different but the same. We're going to start in the same place that we started on Sunday in Mark chapter 9. I'm not going to read the entire story to you again. But I will give you the Danny version, and that is that Jesus had come down with the three disciples from, or Jesus had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down and he meets the other nine disciples down there, and he sees that they're surrounded by some religious scholars, and they are arguing. And when he comes to find out that this father is asking for the deliverance of his demon-possessed son. And so when he gets down there, Jesus says some things to him. But if you remember on Sunday, we really keyed in on one scripture. And so we keyed in the first half, and now we're going to key in on the second half. So that scripture was verse 23. And in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus said to him, "What do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible to the believer." In the Amplified Classic Version, it says, and Jesus said, "You say to me, if you can do anything, why? All things can be, are possible to him who believes." The NLT says, "Anything is possible to him who believes." You see, if you go back and look, it's really not so much of a can you, but will you. Not can you believe, will you believe? Are you willing to submit yourself over to what I'm able to do? And so I was reading a book by E.W. Kenyon. It's The Wonderful Name of Jesus, but he says in there, believing is a verb. It's an action word. It really means taking. So will you take it? Not can you take it, will you take it? To believe in a biblical sense means to take, to grasp. To believe Jesus means to take Jesus for all that the scriptures declare him to be. To believe on Christ as Savior means to take Christ as a Savior. To believe in Christ as a healer means to take him as your healer and recognize him as your healer. Now, I remember when I was a young girl, I haven't always been this cool. And so when I was a young girl, I was pretty nerdy, pretty round, had some big old glasses, had this little gap between my teeth, and I thought I was really cool, but truth be told, I was never really one of the popular kids. When we got to high school, things were a lot different, but in elementary school, I was not the one. And so I remember that, you know, when someone would come to class and birthday parties were coming, they come, and in those days, for you younger folks, that's funny to say that. I'm grown up now. We weren't required to invite everybody in the classroom. And so you were hoping, am I going to get an invitation? Am I going to be one of the ones that gets to go to the party? You see, nowadays they require that if you're bringing invitations to the classroom, then everybody in the classroom needs to have an invitation. You can't seclude anyone out. But when I was in school, it was a, will I get invited? I'm not sure. I mean, of course, if it was one of my friends that I knew, but you know, everyone else in the class. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus always brings an invitation for the whole class. He always brings an invitation. But the RSVP is up to you. You have been invited to a life of faith. But it's up to you to respond. There is no exclusivity clause in Jesus. He's all inclusive for the believer. He's all inclusive. In the scriptures, he says in Genesis 18:14, and I'm going to pop through some scriptures really quick. So if you don't turn all of there, write them down. You can go back and fact check me later. Amanda's going to click through them all, but I'm just going to read through them. So it's going to be pretty fast. Genesis 18:14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Mark 11:23 says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. And Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I think it's time we start taking the limits off. I think it's time that we stop limiting the things that God hasn't placed limits on. You see, his words sound like no thing, anything, anyone, whosoever, whatever, all things, all needs. His words sound more like anybody can have faith, and anyone that does have faith can have whatever they asked for. You see, it's man who begins to put the limitations on who and what God is willing to participate with. We have to stop allowing our small thinking. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we have to stop allowing our small thinking to be the equivalent of who the creator of the entire universe is. It's time that we step outside the bounds that we're drawing. That we're drawing of who he can be. You see, if someone's doing marriage counseling, or they're doing relationship advice, even if it's just confrontational conversation, you know, even when it's what do they call it? De-escalating. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Even when they're de-escalating a situation in the workplace, they tell you to stay away from words like these. Anything, nothing, always. Why? Because they're saying you could never say that every single time it's going to be that way. Can I tell you? Jesus, 100% of the time, means what he says. His word is 100%. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He doesn't have to stay away from those words that are all inclusive because he means those things. You see, the limits and the bounds that we've placed on what it's supposed to look like is the confines of religion that's caused us to move away from what we're supposed to really live like. What Christians are really supposed to live like. We're supposed to live... Licked the mic, count it as one, tally it. We are supposed to live outside confines of religion. We're supposed to live outside of the place of saying, no, God can only work within this box. Well, the only reason he can only work within that box is because that's all the room you've given him. Jesus is absolute. Our natural senses, our natural minds have to allow a different realm of thinking. If we are only being moved by our mind, if we're only being moved by the intellect, if we're only being moved by what we can come up with in our natural mind, we are limiting the possibilities of this world. We were never called to just think in this natural realm as born-again believers. We see when... Remember when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, it said that he looked up, right? He looked up. Why was he looking up? Because he was looking into the reality that he belonged to. He was looking up to the reality that he belonged to. You see, you can get real sunk in natural things because your senses are loud. It can be loud in your ears. It can be, as strange as that says, loud in your eyes. Things talk back to you. Your accounts will talk back to you. People will talk back to you of I call this, I am believing for forgiveness in this situation. I'm walking out forgiveness. People will show you right away. Do you? Are you sure? Why? Because we can't be moved by the natural senses. We can't be moved by the natural realm. Remember when Jesus had delivered that boy, immediately after, the boy fell into a seizure. Will you believe or will you not? You getting a workout in, Jesse? I see him laughing. I'm moving. Jesus always provides an invitation, always, for you to act on what he said. There is always an opportunity for you to act on what he said. The invitation is always there. In Hebrews chapter 4, I think I did myself a favor and marked this one. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. I'm reading in the Passion Translation again for this one. It says now, just kidding, there we go. Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting and confident faith. You see that? This isn't the place of natural thinking. This isn't the place of your natural mind. This isn't just where your senses operate. It's into the realm of resting and confident faith. That we believe in something bigger than what we can see with our natural eyes. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance, just as they did the children in Israel, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. They believed the if. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. You see, when we go to that place, when we go to that level, we aren't moved just by the sense. We aren't just moved by what the circumstantial evidence is telling us. We're in a place of rest, and we're looking at a higher reality than the one that we're walking in this natural realm. You're emphasizing that a lot. I know, because the natural realm is loud until you bring your spirit in ascendancy. And we might talk about that on Sunday, but that's not really where we're going today. So believing is the willingness to act on what he said. So he gives the invitation. Are you willing to act believing that this higher reality, this higher realm is the truth? Are you only going to move on what your natural mind is thinking? The Israelites refused to act on what was being offered to them. There was an offer to move into the promised land. Their hearts were hardened and they were offended by his invitation. We're going to go back there in just a minute, but when the invitation is offered, we must make sure that our response is right. We must make sure that when he's offering to us, that we're mindful of how we're responding to that invitation. And I'm going to jump down and come back there, because every invitation offers an opportunity for belief or offense. Every invitation. I want to take you to a story in Mark chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I want to make this comment to you. We have an opportunity to move into the promised land, but the condition of our heart towards God and towards others could stand in the way of our right response. So Mark 7, I have it here, 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. You see, an opportunity, an invitation was given to her. And you say, Danny, that doesn't sound like much of an invitation to me. Well, you know, we've been told all the time that he was just offering offense, which I can see that. But this word dog here was not actually the same word dog that they used for the Gentiles. You see, the word dog that they used for Gentiles would be like adult dogs that run out in the street. This word dog here was actually the Greek word kuon. That's how you say it in Danny. But it's K-U-O-N. So if you can go say that, I say kuon. but it actually was the word puppies. You see, the difference between puppies and dogs was that dogs lived outside in the streets. Puppies were considered little pets that lived in the house. So while they were not necessarily the ones that sat in the table, they still were in the house. You see, there was an invitation that said, if you can still grab a hold of what's available to you here. Now, let me tell you that you call me a puppy or you call me a dog, there's opportunity for offense. Right? I mean, puppies are cute, but I don't really want you to call me a puppy. But it was an invitation to say, hey, you realize that these pets, the tradition is they're in the house and the children drop the crumbs on the floor in the household. He was providing an opportunity that, hey, if you see this, your healing is in you not being offended and taking this invitation. And she took the invitation. She took the invitation and said, Lord, even the puppies get to eat the children's crumbs. And the healing, the deliverance was manifest for her daughter. There's always going to be an opportunity for you to be offended in what God's asking you to do. I mean, He asked the withered hand, stretch out your hand. My hand's been like this my whole life. And you're asking me to do something different? Or can I take it a step farther? My whole life has been dependent on this check. And you're asking me to believe for my healing? So I have to believe you instead of the system? You're asking me to give everything in my bank account? Don't you know? I have a family. Or I choose to believe that if you're going to heal me from this, then you're going to provide me for me for that. If you're asking for what's in my account, you're going to make sure that I'm abundantly supplied for. You see, there's an opportunity to be offended. There's always an opportunity for you to say, no, I couldn't do that. No, I wouldn't go that way. And it blocks you from receiving. You begin to harden your heart towards God because you're offended by what he's asking you for. But he'll never ask you for anything that he doesn't have a promise attached to. That he doesn't have goodness attached to. When he asked the rich young ruler for finances, you realize it wasn't, hey, go give all of your finances to the poor because he was upset about how much money he had. No, it was a trust issue. It was a trust issue. He didn't trust God outside of his finances. How do I know that? Because if you turn to the next place, Zacchaeus, I really just sang the song to myself to remember his name. It happened. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking Barnabas and I'm like, that's not it. So I sang the song. But he went to Zacchaeus' house, who was a tax collector. Stealing money was their way of life. Ripping people off was their way of life. And Zacchaeus repented, changed his mind, and said, I will give away half, and I will repay everyone four times. Why? Because it says he turned his life over to the Lord. It says, you have, I believe the passion says, I've seen true life in you. What is that? Zoe life. God kind of life. You have placed your trust in me. You're no longer trusting in those finances. You have placed your trust in me as your Lord. That was the factor. Are you going to trust and believe? Or are you going to continue in the path you've been working in? Are you going to move into the heavenly realm? Are you going to move into the heavenly reality? Or are you going to stay with your natural senses? That's the whole move. You know, people give a whole lot of credit to the devil when really you might be dealing with more your flesh. I'm just going to leave that and walk this direction. I'm married to a big man. Don't come after me. You see, we become offended by the word when our flesh is in the way. We really only become offended any time when our flesh is in the way. One of the greatest things I ever heard was dead men cannot be offended. I don't know about you, but I've never walked up to a casket and they're like, man, I'm so offended with you. I mean, if they were, they'd already forgot it by the time they got to heaven, right? Dead men cannot be offended. It is our flesh that gets offended. And so it's us needing, I can tell this is going over really great. Sometimes you got to be a needle. We have to put our flesh in check. We have to put the natural man in check. The highest ranking member of this three-part being should never be my flesh. Never. It should never be my natural senses that are controlling what is happening in my life. It should be the Spirit of the living God who dwells on the inside of me. It should be the Word of God which abides on the inside of you. And if you're allowing your flesh to dictate you, you're going to live an offended life. We can see that all over the world right now. All over the world right now, people are walking around offended because all they're concerned about is them. They're living a self-centered life that all they're concerned about is them. We weren't even created to just be concerned about ourselves. He created us to be a body. And to be a body, you have to take into consideration the other working parts. And that means sometimes removing your self-centeredness from the equation. Lord, I did not see it going this way, but praise the Lord. When Jesus asks us to do something, we can't be offended by it. The opportunity comes every time he asks you to do something. I was throwing grass not that long ago, and I was walking through the yard, and I stepped in a hole, and I heard a, and I thought, oh, but instead I just said, bless the Lord, and I continued throwing grass and continued doing what I was doing and kept moving about, and then I went home, and I cut my grass, and then after I cut my grass, I was like, okay, I'm going to just chill out and read the word or listen to the word or something on the back porch. I'm just going to hang out and cool off. And all of a sudden I had my feet propped up in my zero gravity chair, loving life. And I start feeling this uncomfortableness in my ankle. And I thought, well, that's strange. So I switched positions Nope, still there. That's strange. Should I switch positions? Well, it continually starts getting worse and it starts aching. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go in the house. And so I went in the house and my mama was making me dinner. Oh, it was so good. I love when she does that. She was making me some Fideo. I know I don't look it, but there's some Hispanic somewhere in this girl. So I went in and she said something. She said, are you okay? And I said, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. And Jordan looks at me and he goes, are you okay? And I said, I am healed. And I start walking and it just starts progressively getting worse. Like I'm saying the right things, but my actions are progressively hurting more and more. It's hurting more and more to put pressure on it. So I ate my dinner. I got a bag of frozen rice out of my freezer because that's what I had that was frozen. And I put it on my ankle. And that was not helping either, so I went upstairs. And as soon as I went upstairs, I laid in my bed, and I could not get comfortable because I thought, okay, well, I'll just rest. I believe I'm healed. I'll just rest. I'll fall asleep. I'll wake up in the morning. Everything's going to be great. I actually texted Amanda, and I said, all right, be in agreement. When I wake up in the morning, everything's going to be great. Well, laying there was not great. And so I thought, okay, devil, you want to play games? I'm going to turn on the word. And so I turned on Pastor Nancy, and she was live. And I kid you not, within 3 minutes of turning her on, she started calling out words of knowledge regarding healing. And she said, all right, someone's ankle. Okay, now what I want you to say is I am now healed. Okay, so there's two options. One, I just got in my bed. I could not get comfortable. I couldn't even lay comfortably. And so I could be offended at the fact that the Lord said, all right, well, do something about it, right? I could have been offended and say, I am hurting right now. I could have. But instead, I said, okay, I take it. I am now healed. I am now healed. And so I started twisting it. And I was like, ooh, this is great. Twisting it because it was hurting every time I twisted it. And I said, okay, well, healed people walk. So I got out of my bed and I started pacing. Probably to the point of much more even than I'm doing here. Then I said, okay, healed people jump. And I started jumping in my room. To the point I actually knocked over Jordan's guitar. Whoops. That's what healed people do. They jump. And so I started jumping and then I was like, praise God. And so I got back in, and I told Jordan, I went up on the balcony. I was like, look what I can do. Like a little kid. And so then I just went back to bed eventually. And within 24 hours, not a sight of pain. Now I guarantee you I twisted my ankle. I heard it pop. I heard the noise. It felt like it was sprained, but there's a healer. And I chose to believe and took what belonged to me. There was an opportunity where I didn't have to respond to what he was offering. But I took the opportunity, or I took the invitation, and received by faith what belonged to me. You have to take the step. Now, the initial step was the rolling of my ankle. I was walking at Jesse's house the other morning, and you walk down a hill, and then you go to the... She's created this amazing pathway where you go down the hill, you get to walk flat and incline a little bit, and then you go up a big hill, and then you get to do it again the other way. So regardless if you're at the beginning or the end, you're going to be taking a hill. And so I'm climbing up the hill, and all of a sudden I hear the Holy Ghost say this to me. Have you ever realized when you're focused on the steps, the mountain looks a lot smaller? You see, so often when we're gauging our focus on what's ahead of us instead of the steps he's told us to take, it looks way bigger than it is. It's taking this step that he said, and this step that he said, and this step that he said, and this step that you said. And then the next thing you've known it, you've already made a whole lot of progress. You've already went way further into what he called you to do. You've already moved way further in where he called you to be, because you're focusing on the steps and not focusing on something that's so large that you don't think you could attain it. Now, you can, because it says anything, nothing, whatever, whosoever. And sometimes it's going to be instantaneous just like that. But can I tell you that in the progress, in the steps, there's a growing, there's a trusting, there's a believing, where you're walking things out with God, that those moments where you're walking things out with him are going to impact the rest of your life. Those things that you're walking through with him as you take the steps with him, as you engage with him. You see, there's relationship built in those moments. You know, some people do. I guess there's such thing as like arranged marriage and stuff, but normally you would go on a first date and a second date and you get to know people and you walk through stages. Well, those steps of walking with the Lord are taking you through those stages of knowing one another in a more intimate way that causes your trust to increase and your believing so much easier. When you know who he is, you're able to say, I don't care what you say, devil. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who's talking back to me. This is true. Amen? And so this is where that part that I was talking about on Sunday, the Job 22:28. Remember, you shall decide, decree a thing. It shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways, on your path, on your derrick, on what you're called into, the destination of your life, where he has called for you to be. It's when we go step by step, walking out the place that he's called us into. We're deciding, we're decreeing, and we're moving forward. Amen? And this is all based on us making that decision. I will believe you. I will believe you. All things are possible to him who believes. But it's an active step, an active motion, an action to believe what he's saying. And so I know we're going through these things. Pastor told me to remind you, and so this is my remembering 46 minutes later. We are moving through faith, right? We are working in faith. That until convention comes, we're going through faith. So are these things you know? Maybe. But I'll tell you, there's one thing I've learned in my faith walk. It's that faith happens almost in like a spiral, almost like a circumference, where you go through the same teachings on this level, and then you go up a little higher and you do it on this level, and then you go up a little higher and you do it on this level. And one of the best things I've ever heard, and I probably say it every time I preach, is if you say, I've already heard this, then you probably never have. That there is something that God will say to you out of the word. That it is a constant learning, a constant growing. There are times when I go back and read my notes and I'm like, man, that is so good. I can't believe I knew that once, and right now it just feels like I never knew it. Why? Because we have to be constantly renewing our mind. We have to be constantly feeding on the word. The steak I ate the other day was really good, but I'm still hungry today. You have to keep eating. You have to keep feeding. You have to keep building. You have to keep growing the things that he's calling you into. Amen? So I just really have been so overwhelmed that God is doing something amazing. When we've been in prayer on Monday, when we've been in prayer on Tuesday, it is just a constant a constant coming forth of, I'm about to do a new thing. He said at one point that there will be an electrifying encounter. Speeding up the hands of time. That the miraculous is taking place. But in order to walk in those places, there has to be you willing to respond. In these miracles, look at the miracles in the Bible. Look at the things that they did. They didn't just sit back and say, beam me up, Scotty. It didn't just drop in their lap. There was response required. Amen? So decide to take the invitation he's offering. Are you going to RSVP or not? Actually, as I was reviewing my notes, it reminded me at about 8 o'clock this morning to RSVP to Jesse's wedding. If you haven't, there's your reminder. Decree it from your mouth, and he will show you the steps to take. You have a voice as valuable as anyone else. I want to just hit this just one more time. His word says, whoever, whatever, anything. It is so important that we stop putting limits on what God's willing to do. We need to just move outside. Think of the wildest thing you could think of. Okay, when Peter said, Jesus, they're asking if we pay taxes. So what do you think about that? Right? Sometimes I do that with the pastor. So, pastor, they're asking this question, and you're the leader of this pack, so what do you think about that? Right? Go to the higher one. But out of all the things that Peter thought that Jesus was going to do to pay their taxes, right? Out of all the things, okay, if Jesus is going to pay my taxes, out of all the things I could think that he would do to pay my taxes, okay? Like, I could think, pull some extra work. Someone blesses me. Maybe I dig it up in the backyard. Those are things. The thing I wouldn't think about is, hey, go fishing and take it out of the fish's mouth. Like, Peter was probably thinking, go fishing, catch the fish, bring in the catch, cash in the money, go pay, right? No. You see, that's where the miracle comes from, because he doesn't think like us. He has thousands of ways, hundreds of thousands of ways he can do it. Stop limiting him to the one that you like best. Stop limiting him to the one that's the easiest. Remember, faith isn't looking for easy. Faith is looking for results. And if we're going to continue to build, if we're going to continue to grow, if we're going to continue to move forward, we have to stop looking for the easiest action. I remember Pastor Nancy said one time, and I'm coming to a close here, but Pastor Nancy said one time that this guy asked her, Pastor Nancy, will you believe with me for this church building? And he said, maybe that the guy would just give it to us. And she said, sir, pastor, I don't know, whatever she called him, mister, I will believe for you. I will believe with you for whatever. I will believe with you for the building, but in whatever way that God says is best for your faith. You see, God's trying to stretch you for whatever is best for your faith. Jordan and I were put in a situation in the last year where the easy way would be to get rid of this, have the finances immediately, pay for all of this, done deal, don't have to think about it. I liked it. I liked that option a lot, actually. I'm very much, I am a reconciler. I like when boxes on this row match boxes on this row and everything's happy and beautiful. But that's not what was best for our faith. Not because we decided, but because that's how we were directed. I am able to stretch you. I am able to grow you. And can I tell you, as we moved and walked with the Lord in that way, things that we had been desiring to step out on, to walk out on, to move out on, almost felt like they fell in our lap. Now, there's been a process. There's still a process. There's still things we're working through. There's still things that we're walking out. It didn't happen instantaneously, because now you have to believe for each project, right? But there's a building in the faith of every single one of those projects that's completed. There's a building of the faith in each one of those things that we've navigated through. If one thing that I can say to you is that you have to stop looking for just a release of pressure and follow through what God calls you to do. When a scuba diver is diving, there has to be a testing of this level before he can go deeper, and then a testing of this level before he can go deeper. And there has to be an ability to withstand pressure to get into the deeper water. And so if you're constantly cutting out the pressure for the easiest thing, it's like lifting weights, right? If you just constantly go back to the 5-pounders, you're never going to build the muscle. You have to be willing to add a little bit more pressure in what the Lord is instructing you to do. I'm not telling you to go nuts. I'm not telling you to go buy something you can't afford. I'm telling you, if the Lord is stretching you, walk in that direction. And focus on the steps and not the big thing. Amen? All right. So I think I already said this, but I'll say it again. If Jesus is offering you an invitation, RSVP and go today. Amen? So I'm going to provide you an invitation and an opportunity to give this evening. What an opportunity for God. What an opportunity for God to work in your life. What an opportunity for God to move in your life. As I was at the tent meeting, whenever that was, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, the Lord just kept bringing up things to me of seed sown and those things coming to pass in our life in supernatural ways. In abundance that even some items where it had fell off of my radar, it fell off of my thinking. I just encourage you, follow what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. Believe he will do what he says he will do. And if he's prompting you for something, if he's prompting you to do something, I look at all of you here, so you know my heart. Just take the step of faith and do it. Stop wavering. Stop leaving room to think. Pastor Nancy is a smart woman, and so I take a lot from her. And she said, if the Lord tells me to give, I immediately contact the finance person to cut the check. Why? Don't leave time to waver. Don't leave time to waste. Just do the thing. Now, if you know you don't have any of that money, don't cut hot checks to people, okay? I was listening to Charles Cavs, and he said, sometimes you just have to over-clarify yourself because people do crazy things. And he told a story one time about a guy who tried to resurrect his dog that had been dead for like 6 months, something crazy, 3 months. Yeah, something like that. He was like, well, you said, and he was like, well, buddy, mind you, the guy had shot the dog and then okay. Anyways, praise the Lord. What? Way back. Actually, that message that I listened to was from 87. I remember that because it may have been older than me, but so way back then, way back then. But we have to be willing to act, not do crazy things, but follow what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. Father, we thank you that your blessing is abounding to them. Father, we thank you that you are faithful 100% of the time to your word. You are faithful 100% of the time to your promises, that you will do what you say you will do. Father, that according to your word, that for a tither, the windows of heaven are open and the devourer is rebuked. Father, I speak that over the land of all of your people that are tithing for your house. And Father, I thank you that nations call Victory Church blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to receive the offering, you can give by texting VCHL to 73256. Click the link and follow through the prompts. And you can also give online by going to our website and clicking the Give tab, and our mailing address is there as well. Thank you for joining this evening. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Amen. So I did want to share with you just a couple of items that I was in a meeting with the folks at the Crisis Network today, and so they were making us aware of some opportunities. I believe they are looking for, if anyone is interested in doing summer deliveries of food. They actually feed, any of the children who have registered with, like the local school system, and they go out and take food to their houses. So these children are fed during the summertime, because some of them only count on meals within, the school system. And so that is such a blessing. So, you know, we are going to be participating in getting some items for them. They asked us to bring some fruit in a couple of weeks. So we will be participating in that. Takes no regard on your part, but, we are doing that. You're a part of that. You are being a blessing to that. So I'll make you aware of that. They also are always looking for items in their warehouse. So if you're interested in bringing any of, commissary. So if you're interested in bringing all those are like the things we've previously done. That is a constant ongoing thing. They also are looking for volunteers in the warehouse. If you haven't been to the warehouse, I just encourage you, go check it out. It's really awesome. It's like a thrift store kind of thing. They have furniture, they have clothes, they have dishes, they have small appliances, they have jewelry, they have all kinds of things there. And so you can go in and you can purchase those items, and all of the money that comes in from those items goes back into the Crisis Network so they continue to bless others. So that's pretty awesome. But they're looking for volunteers. They're only open like 11 to 5 Monday through Friday. So if that worked with your schedule, you could go volunteer there. You can go on any level and sign up and go do that at the Crisis Network. And then there was one more thing. Lord, bring it back to me. Oh, I just wanted to share with you one more thing, because we partner with the Crisis Network. If you didn't know that, the Victory does partner with them financially each month, because they're blessing our community so much. And so they've also started a dental clinic where they, on every other Friday, are currently seeing dental patients, where you can come in at completely no charge. There is a waiting list currently, but they've already seen, I think they said 17 the first week, 27 the following week, and they still have 50 on the waiting list. But these local area dentist practitioners, dental assistants are coming in and just completely donating a day of their time to be able to bless the people of our community. And so, I mean, their opportunities are really awesome. It's a great way to participate, a great way to give back. So if you're looking to do that somewhere within the community, you can just go on to the Highland Lakes Crisis Network website. If you don't have that, you can get with me and I'll get it to you, and sign up as a volunteer through them. And they're actually about to launch, I think this is top secret, so don't tell anyone I told you, but they're about to launch a volunteer portal where it'll actually have a calendar of whatever's available that day. You can just click on it and sign up. And so super excited about that. I'm thankful for them and their heart and the community. So I guess my last announcement is, at the end of July will be the Believers Convention. And so if you haven't signed up, make sure to get your room and get ready to go, because it's going to be a wonderful time and you want to be there. Pastor Nancy Dufresne is on the speaker schedule. Ah! Okay. There you saw it. I promise I won't fangirl if I see her, but she's pretty amazing. And then our books for book club are coming soon. We should have them shortly. They have been shipped. They just have not arrived yet. And so we will start with that book, Responding to the Holy Spirit. All right, hearts and minds clear. Father, we pray over all of the bodies. We thank you for your healing, your wholeness, your goodness, moving and working in them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we know.